Awesome. So much. Super. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here this morning in Singapore, and I already had a chance to have breakfast with a bunch of Microsoft student partners as well as startups on Azure. There's nothing like having a morning cup of coffee with a bunch of developers and knowing that they never slept last night. To me, at Microsoft, you know, we've been in Singapore for 25 years, and to be here this morning, kicking off my day here, talking to developers, takes me back to the very origin of our company. In fact, everything that we do starts with our sense of purpose and identity and mission, which is to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. And when we think about empowerment through digital tools and platforms, which is what we create, there is no better audience, there is no better place to start from than developers. In fact, the birth of Microsoft was when a student like one of you dropped out of Harvard and created BASIC. That was the first product. Basically, we started off as a tools company. And a lot has changed and a lot has happened since then. But at the core, we are a company that cares deeply about how do we create platforms that then can empower, enable, and inspire developers to chase after their dreams. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about what are these platforms? What is the changes that are coming that can truly be great sources of inspiration and opportunity for everyone? The place where all of us in the technology business have to start from, though, thinking when we think about the opportunity, because after all, we're in the business of predicting things that are not articulated today. We're in the business of forecasting the unarticulated, unmet needs around us. And when you phrase it that way, or when you frame it that way, then you have to have a real worldview of what's the arc of technology going forward. And to me, I describe it as this mobile first, cloud first world, but it's important to dig deeper and understand what is that arc. So when I say mobile first, I don't mean mobility of a single device. If anything, I mean mobility of the human experience across all the computing in our lives. Because what's going to be secular is in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're going to have more computing, small screens, large screens, sensors in every room you go to. And so all that compute has to be used for one thing, which is enhancing the experience that we have with compute. And that all can only be done if you use the cloud as the control plane, because how are you going to move from compute device to compute device and construct this ubiquitous and ambient intelligence environment around us? And that's what the cloud is going to really enable us. So really thinking of these two revolutions happening together, and you as developers taking advantage of that together, is the world that we see. And in that context, we are building out three broad platforms that I want to talk about. The first one is what we describe as our intelligent cloud, or more specifically, what we are building out with Azure. And this morning also, it's great to see, you know, the first session of a developer conference being a machine learning conference, machine learning session and a bunch of machine learning demos. Because we are building out this distributed cloud infrastructure, not as a single destination, by the way. It's going to be distributed. So the combination of Azure Stack and Azure is going to give you that infinite capacity when it comes to compute, storage, and network, so that you as developers can count on the infrastructure being there for your applications, wherever it is. We also are making sure that infrastructure supports all the frameworks, all the runtimes in the most flexible and the most open way. In fact, already 30% or so of Azure runs Linux VMs. So that means if you are a Linux developer or a Windows developer, a Java developer or a .NET developer, you love Docker or Docker on Windows, whatever it is that you love in terms of your infrastructure level containers, to developer frameworks, to languages, We want you to be able to bring that to Azure so that you can build the applications. In fact, you can mix and match all of these. That's what we see most developers do. There is no more of this one homogeneous framework or one piece of technology, but we really want to be able to allow for that flexibility and openness. The other aspect, which can be traced back to our very origin again, is our obsession of building best-in-class productivity tools for developers. And so what we're doing with Visual Studio will continue. I'm so thrilled about what Xamarin represents in Visual Studio for you to be able to build out these new classes of applications for all types of devices. But even what we're doing online with Visual Studio Online and TFS, so that you can do things like continuous development, agile development, DevOps, and be much more productive as a small team. And for us, even there, we want to be open. So that means if you want to pull from GitHub or publish to GitHub, you should be able to do that. And we enable that right from Visual Studio and TFS. But last point is perhaps the most key, which is, what is it that each of you are doing with the applications you're building? What is that core characteristic of the apps that we will build today and tomorrow that is different, perhaps, from the apps we built 3 years from, you know, in the past or 5 years ago? It's going to be intelligence. The ability for us to reason over large amounts of data and to infuse into our applications and our experiences intelligence is what's going to define what happens going forward. And it's going to define, in fact, the success of your applications. And so that is where we want to differentiate our infrastructure. More importantly, the dream I've had always, and in fact, that's what was at the genesis of even our efforts around ML Studio, was I always wanted to make sure that we approached machine learning and AI with the same kind of approach we had to client-server development with Visual Basic, which is to democratize application development around machine learning. How do we make it possible for every developer in every industry in every country to be able to infuse intelligence into their development projects, into their applications? And you see that with the richness of these cognitive APIs even. The fact that you can have language understanding APIs, you can have speech understanding APIs, computer vision APIs, all available to you to be able to teach your computers how to listen, how to learn, how to understand human language, how to see and recognize objects, that is what we think is the future of application development. So the cognitive APIs contained within Azure is perhaps one of the new platforms that I hope even at a conference like this gets you very enthused about. In fact, this morning, when I spent time with some of the developers, it was fantastic to see them take advantage of these platforms. So I met a startup, Overdrive, that's working on Azure. And in fact, the theme that I found, especially in the startups I met today, was how IoT and applications around IoT married with intelligence are going to change the world. Overdrive is building out an IoT platform. So you can go into a car, put their black box, it collects all the diagnostic information out of any given automobile, and creates a cloud platform out of it. In other words, they take all of that data, schematize it, expose it as a set of developer APIs for other developers to go build app, smart applications. That type of approach, where you take data from someplace, rendezvous it in the cloud, open it up for things like machine learning, and then have other developers even add and extend, is, I think, a very rich pattern for what many people here can do. I also had a chance to learn about Astoria Solutions, which is another startup that got started a few years ago in Azure. And they're taking a different type of approach with IoT, where they're focusing on the vertical of oil and gas and trying to bring the next level of safety and productivity to workers in oil and gas. And so they've built a solution which helps track and automatically make sure that things get monitored, filled in. And the thing that what I found, which is pretty profound, was not only they built a solution that's, in fact, very successful right here in Singapore, but through the help of Microsoft, are now going and taking that solution to other markets. So they have customers in the Middle East and the United States. And by the way, that is one of the key characteristics of who we are and what we can do for you as developers. You can start with your passion and domain knowledge and understanding of one market, but we can help scale that where now it's possible for you to start one place and be worldwide next day because you've really figured out that pattern of success. Even JTC, which is a large company in Singapore, is building out the infrastructure in the cloud for smart buildings. And this is actually a pretty important challenge going forward for us because energy management is directly related to how smart can you make your buildings. If we want to be very cognizant about the environmental impact of energy, you've got to start taking advantage of these digital feedback loops like IoT so that you can conserve energy. And that's what they're doing with their smart building infrastructure, and it's all a cloud-based solution. So these are examples of the new types of apps that many of you are building and that we see really having huge impact right here in this market, but all over the world. The second platform I want to talk about is what's happening with Office 365 and our Dynamics products. The broader vision we have here is about reinventing productivity. Because one of the challenges is in all the abundance of compute and computing around us, what is still scarce is human attention and time. And so the idea that we can, in fact, turn our attention and focus to things that matter the most is perhaps one of the most important challenges. And so when you say any corporation, by the way, we're having tremendous success in Singapore of people moving to Office 365. But when customers move to Office 365, it's not just outsourcing what was email before or what was SharePoint before, but it's a completely new way of working. And it's because of the data underneath Office is for the first time exposed to you as developers as a platform asset. That means people, their relationship with other people, their projects, their schedules, is all exposed as a graph structure called Microsoft Graph. Now, why is that interesting? If you're building a construction management application, if you're building a healthcare app management application, any other business process app, you can integrate that app seamlessly into the core collaboration communications infrastructure and toolset of a company. That can drive a massive change in the overall productivity because exceptions happen and all those exceptions are all handled in communications tools. So therefore, marrying seamlessly these business process applications and your productivity and communications applications using a data structure like a graph, I think can in fact be a very profound change. Similar to this, we already are at work in perhaps what is going to be a massive platform shift. Just like the graphical user interface or the web or mobile applications were massive changes in terms of opportunity and what we had to do to build applications to take advantage of those new platforms. We are at the beginning of one such shift, and we refer to this as conversations as a platform. The idea is simple yet very powerful. What if we can take the most innate capability that we all humans have, which is understanding of human language, and brought that to all computers and computing around us? In other words, what if all computers could understand us and could respond to human language, whether it's spoken or text? Instead of us having to navigate through a sea of icons on our home screens, what if all we had to do was to speak and the right application with the right context just came to us to get things done? So you're not trying to understand all the apps you need. You're not trying to figure out the menu structures of each of the apps. Because think about the cognitive overload that exists today to actually use computers. And so if you got rid of it all, what would it mean? That's what these conversations of as a platform really means. There are three actors in this, by the way. One is us humans and the conversational canvases that we use, whether it be Skype or whether it be Line or WhatsApp or Facebook or any of these. In fact, we sort of envision not some walled garden of conversational canvases. We envision an open ecosystem where you'll use whatever conversational canvas you want to be able to speak, to be able to text. And right within these conversational canvases, you have two types of special actors. One is what we call agents or personal digital assistants. In our case, we're building out Cortana to know you, to know your organization, and know the world, and then help you bring all of that knowledge in your tasks. So that's what the special personal digital assistant does. And lastly, there are bots. So bots are like apps. Every business is going to have a bot. Every place where you built an application, a mobile app, or a website in the past is going to have a bot interface. Every business process, marketing, sales, customer service, are going to have bots. What are bots? Bots are basically these conversational agents where they have a deep understanding of human dialogue, how to engage in a human interface where turn-by-turn dialogue is happening. And so we are building out a bot framework so that you as developers can take advantage of this intelligence layer on how to teach your applications, your bots, human language, and then automate and build these experiences that can be available on all the conversational canvases. So we are very, very excited about what this could mean in terms of developer opportunity, and more importantly, what it could mean in terms of computing being more democratized than it's already been. So I just wanted to roll a video to give you a flavor for what this world looks like.
Each day, we navigate a sea of apps, each with its own unique interface to help us accomplish simple tasks. But are they really making life less complex? What if you could simply pick up your device and start speaking to it? What if you could use the most powerful tool we as human beings use every day? Language. With Skype, Cortana, and the Microsoft Cloud, we're creating an intelligent canvas that's intuitive, whether you're tracking the delivery of a package, booking a room at your favorite hotel, scheduling an important customer meeting, or even ordering a pizza. From the moment we're born, we engage in conversations. And if human beings are truly hardwired for anything, it's the ability to interact with one another. So when we think about the next big thing in computing, we're actually betting on the very first thing in being human.
So we are very excited about what this represents as a platform opportunity, and I can't wait to see the type of bot experiences that you would build. And as I said, the idea is to build these experiences that will be available wherever people are having conversations, including SMS and all of these conversational canvases. The next platform I want to talk about is the more personal computing platform. So when we conceived Windows 10, we didn't think of this narrowly as another version of Windows for a device. We wanted to build a device, we wanted to build an operating system, not for a single device, but for people across all their devices. That's the profound shift. We're moving away from a world of thinking of the operating system construct being bound to a single device, but being more bound to people. There are some APIs, in fact, we talked about at our developer conference a couple of months ago, which are some of the most profound changes to an operating system ever. And one of the particular APIs I would point out is Project Roam, which really has a device graph. For the first time now, you can write applications where the application, of course, is resident in one device, but it also knows all the other devices you use. So actions in apps on one device can, in fact, inform what happens in all the other apps or on all the other devices. But beyond creating this new platform that is across devices, we've unified the platform. So one core, or Windows One core, that runs from Raspberry Pi to HoloLens creates that uniformity in terms of developer interface, IT interface, And most importantly, the store. The fact that you can get to now 280 million active devices by putting your applications in Windows Store is a huge opportunity, and that's going to continue to grow, and it's going to have the diversity of use cases. It's not about just one form factor. And that's a place where we are very excited about the innovation. We were the first to come up with this two-in-one. 2-3 years ago, people would say, what is a two-in-one? And here we have even some folks whom we have competed with all our lives also introducing two-in-ones, which is great to see. So the two-in-one is a new category. In fact, it's one of the fastest categories of growth in computing today. Another category that we care about is large screens. I think that the 5-inch screen is a fantastic category. It's always there with us, but large screens will matter as well. So Surface Hub, a computer which has got a communal shell, multiple people can be recognized, they can annotate on a whiteboard and collaborate. That's a new computer that's being built for collaboration first, being built for meetings first. We expect every classroom, every conference room to have screens like that and computers like that. So we are very excited about Surface Hub and what it would represent as an opportunity for developers to write applications for that platform. But perhaps more so than anything, the thing that I'm excited about is mixed reality. I mean, think about this new platform and HoloLens. Throughout our history so far, what we've done is created mirror worlds by observing what happens in the analog space and creating digital metaphors. The desktop is a great example of that, right? So there was a desktop in the physical world, and we said, what if we could create a metaphor which is digital that recreates that entity? But for the first time now, though, our field of view itself is an infinite display, an infinite digital display. I can, in fact, superimpose, or I can annotate the world I see with holograms and digital artifacts. And that notion of mixed reality, or that medium of mixed reality, is going to change everything. You're not going to reach for any screens. All the screens you need are going to be right there in front of you. Your ability to interface with that through gestures, through speech, is going to change how you interact with computing. And we don't stop there. So it's not just mixed reality. You take that notion of mixed reality and marry it with presence. And by presence, I actually mean, literally, all those people who, for example, are tuning in to this webcast today, what if they could be present here? Not just watching it on video on their computing device, but they can, in fact, be here. You can be anywhere from everywhere. That notion of presence, I think, is perhaps one of the biggest changes that we are going to see in the 5 years to come with what is augmented reality. And then, of course, the untethered mobility. So these three changes of mixed reality, presence, and having untethered mobility, where the analog world and digital worlds finally merge, is going to have perhaps the most profound impact in our lives and in our work. And already I see it. I see the enthusiasm that developers have to build the applications. And so I just wanted to roll a video to give you a flavor for the kinds of apps that people are building for HoloLens. Let's roll the video.
Thank you.
You know, when I sort of look at that video, and which I see many times, I'm always reminded of the phrase we started with, which is to say that when you change the way you see the world, you change the world you see, is such a profound way to think about what this medium could mean, especially in the hands of developers. I couldn't be more excited about what this platform represents, but I really can, you know, I'm looking forward to the apps that you build. Architecture is not going to be the same. Industrial design is not going to be the same. Education is not going to be the same. Healthcare is not going to be the same. Gaming, of course, is going to be profoundly different. So the idea that this new medium is going to be pervasive in all of that we do in our lives and at work is, of course, going to be only come true because of the creativity of developers. I want to close out by where I started, which is this notion of empowering every person in every organization, starting here right in Singapore, to achieve more. To us, as a company that has been here for 25 years, what matters is, what is the local ingenuity that we have been able to foster? What is the local growth in this fourth industrial revolution that we are part of? What is the way that we are contributing to this society, this economy, having the skills to be able to foster the growth in that country? And in that context, education, and to be here in the National University of Singapore is an amazing honor for us, to be able to sort of be at that seat of learning for over 100 years, and to see how it is going to prepare the next generation of Singaporeans to be able to participate, to drive this knowledge economy. And in that context, I'm so glad that we are working with the National University to create a new curriculum around data science. Because data science and proficiency with data is going to be the new currency going forward. When we talk about AI, when we talk about machine learning, it has to start with people being able to harness the power of data. And the power of data can have many, many changes in our lives, or can impact many, many changes. I was looking at one of the Imagine Cup finalists, and it was fascinating to see even the makeup of that team. It was a group of people who were medical students coming together with a bunch of computer science students to create an application that was going to detect, or is going to detect, early onset of dementia. Especially with some of the challenges that we have in developed world and in Singapore around aging population, an application like that, that does require multiple skills, does require people with design sensibility, people from health, people from computer science to come together to be able to create these intelligent applications is what we want to enable. So it's fantastic to see us partner up with this university, bring a world-class curriculum, train the students here so that they can go on to imagine an amazing world of intelligence and ambient experiences all around us. Thank you so very, very much. It's been a great pleasure to be here this morning.
We're going to empower the process of showing courage in the face of reality.
The real question that needs to be asked as well as answered is, what is it that we can do that is unique, that is impactful?
It began with the question and a desire to make a difference.
Can you hear me talking?
What we do impacts each and every one of us.
Technology has the power to unite us.
That is something to be celebrated.
When I lost my eyesight, I thought that my painting days were over.
But the vision has evolved, and our mission is clear. We are going to empower every individual and every organization to do more.
I built a computer and I opened a fridge with a Lego.
we can study black rhinos without disturbing their natural environment, so we can help keep them safe.
Technology has changed Braylon's life by opening up the world for him.
It is a process of continuous renewal. It is about looking forward.
Whatever I can do to help compute a cure for cancer, that's what I'd like to do.
And asking the question, what can we do together? There is no limit to how far we can go.
If you dream big enough and believe in your dreams, you can make it happen.